We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for NFL Sunday, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins, alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com, the New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe on WEEI.
It's actually the start of our final hour on this particular Sunday because Red Sox baseball comes your way up after us. The pregame begins at 12:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. We've got your inactives coming up at 11:30. We will go to MetLife Stadium and talk to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe on our way out the door, but right now, let's take our little trip around the NFL and the games of week two that not only matter to us here in New England, but maybe we'll slide a Tom Brady in there well.
I think so. keep our tabs on him.
That's right. Let's go to Miami, where the Buffalo Bills are going to take on the Miami Dolphins. Bills, of course, 0-1, lost to the Steelers. Dolphins, 1-0, beat the Patriots last week. However, Brian Flores is very aware of the issues his team had last year with the Bills.
It didn't go so well, but last year was last year, just like last week was last week, and we're focused on right now, we're focused on today, we're focused on our preparation. Obviously, we've studied the game. There were a lot of things we didn't do good enough. We're trying to make those corrections and not make those mistakes again. So they've got some new players, so do we. So it's different. It's you know, starting from scratch, you know, from that standpoint. And, you know, it's about the preparation this week.
By the way, the Bills beat the Dolphins twice last year, including 56-26, wow, the final game of the regular season.
Ouch.
And I don't think it's going to be that, but I do think Buffalo gets right after a bad game against the Steelers. Wow. I think Buffalo smacks
around
the Dolphins.
This is one of our games we're picking.
I know, just a little early lean there.
See, now I know where you and Fourier.
I'm leaning that way.
Where you and Fourier lean on the Pats with him and you on this game here with the Bills.
I think people, there was a lot of good teams played bad in week one.
Right.
Right? Tennessee, Green Bay, Buffalo, and I think Buffalo bounces back.
I think this is a good matchup. This is something to look. If you're a Patriots fan, you want to watch this game because you want to see. You kind of know what Miami is, but you want to see maybe what Buffalo potentially could be. Because obviously they're in your division. If that's something that you're fighting for, we all thought Buffalo was going to run away with the AFC East. So now this is a good game to watch.
The Rams are at the Colts. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. We know the Rams blew doors last week against the Bears, who are
a mess. A long year.
Well, it's my NFC team.
Until they change the fields. Rams, yours?
Yep.
Same. Love them.
I'm all
love
over the Rams.
Rams are going
to
be good.
Love Stafford there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Stafford will have a great regular season, and then it'll be postseason guy who has not been able to do anything.
He's
I know it was
on
with
the Lions.
Yeah, I get it.
It's the Lions.
I
mean,
the Lions.
Is there any worse organization than the Lions?
I don't know if there is.
Maybe Cleveland, you could argue, but even now, Cleveland's turned things around with your boy Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he has.
He's, you know,
Jets. Jets are in the running.
Jets are in there. So, like Detroit, franchise. And you know, think about it. They drafted three wide receivers 3 years in a row, all in what, the top 15 picks?
Yeah. Oh, well, Calvin Johnson, they eventually got that one right.
Yeah, they did get that one right.
But yeah, the Mike Williams and the Charles Rogers,
like,
and Roy Williams.
Yeah, like, what are you doing here? So yeah, I'm I think Stafford's in a great situation.
Yeah.
You have the best defensive player in the NFL.
Yep.
And you have the best cornerback in the NFL.
And I'll tell you what's good. If the Colts, and I think they will, fall to 0-2,
yep,
that's good news because that's going to be one of those teams fighting for a playoff spot in the AFC.
Didn't they have the best defensive tackle and corner in the NFL last year, too? I'm just wondering.
But yeah, they didn't have Jared Goff.
They didn't have Jared Goff.
Oh, that's it. Because the coach, I mean, hopefully Bill Belichick doesn't show up because the coach will soil himself.
Well, did you see the Jared Goff with the Colts? That's the guy that they had last year.
And by the way. Yeah.
And he still made the playoffs. So.
Colts started 0-1.
I mean, with Detroit, excuse me. Detroit, did you see Jared Goff in the Detroit game last week?
Colts started 0-1. On the year, and a lot like Denver, where there are some who say, oh, Denver's got this great roster, but they just don't have a quarterback. Everybody's been talking about the Colts roster and how good it is. Right. Is it going to show up in some wins here soon or not?
Not today.
No. Not against my Rams.
Nope.
How about this one? I can't believe I'm saying the 1-0 Las Vegas Raiders are at the 1-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. And Derek Carr needling Pittsburgh a little bit on the immaculate reception.
As a lifelong Raiders fan growing up, even the games before you were born back in the 70s where they just had these Raiders-Steelers rivalry game and so forth, and the immaculate reception, all that stuff. What are some of your early
that
memories
ball touched the ground.
Steelers? And-
yeah, you want to piss off the Yinzers? You say the immaculate reception is a joke. They'll be chucking the chicken from Giant Eagle down there at you, but somebody is coming out of this game 2-0, and I would dare say, running around the room, none of us would have predicted that one of these teams would have been 2-0 after week two.
Listen, I said Pittsburgh. I said Pittsburgh last week. So I think I'm going to flip this a little bit. I like the Raiders in this
one. Do you
like
the Raiders?
I do too.
Especially getting six, I like them. They, and no Josh Jacobs. So Jacobs has already been ruled
out. Big blow.
They do have Kenyon Drake there. Mm-hmm. But John Gruden was talking about Peyton Barber. Like, I don't know. He might get carries today.
Wasn't he with Dallas a bunch of years ago?
He's with Dallas. He's also with Tampa. That's Peyton Barber.
Sucks. Oh, my God.
Sucks. But, again, no Josh Jacobs, so they're going to have to go
somewhere. Pittsburgh's offense looked bad, though, against Buffalo.
They did. They did that block punt touchdown. Right.
But their D is good, man.
They
TJ
do have
Watt.
Good defense. Yeah.
That O-line in Pittsburgh is not what it once was.
I'll tell you, but that defense, boy, they get there and they create turnovers.
Yeah, they're
tough. I thought the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade was a big whiff. They gave up 2 1s for the guy. Turns
pretty
out
good.
He's a defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes to show how important the safety is in that Steeler defense.
And Ingram's found a nice little spot for himself in that defense there with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
How about this? Are the Cincinnati Bengals going to be 2-0 after today? They head to Chicago, 1 o'clock kickoff against the Bears, who cannot stop the EEI All-Stars.
Yeah, they're going to be 2-0.
Wiggy, you'd get 50 right now on the Bears defense.
Well, here's what I tell you with the Bears. My guy.
Yeah.
Maybe another week or two.
Gotta be.
Justin Fields.
Gotta be. A loss at home to the Bengals.
Oh,
kind of paves the way even for week three to be Justin Fields.
So, Wiggs, my theory all year on this is that they got to fire the coach. They got to get rid of Matt Nagy before they put Fields in there. Do you think those things are tied together?
No, I don't think so. I think if you put Fields in there and then you fire the coach, I think Fields is like if you put him in there, he's the guy that you look at and go, it's going to be rocky, but he's the future.
Oh,
right?
No, Wiggs, what I'm saying is Fields doesn't start until that coach gets fired.
No. I think
can still do it.
Yeah, I'm still with you on this one, Rich. I think if you lose
to
the Bengals at home, I think you see Justin Fields starting week three, Nagy still being the head coach, because I think the fans are like, we're not really – Fields is our guy, so we just know there's going to be a new coach coming.
Do you guys consider a Andy Dalton revenge game at play here?
No.
Oh,
Andy Dalton against his former team. Remember,
that's a good pull, though, I got to say.
The week after the trade deadline 2 years ago,
yeah.
And he was like, what the hell are you doing?
Players look to motivate. I mean, Rodney Harrison made up stuff to motivate the team in 04, the hell?
And that's the thing. So you're at home. You're going against your former team, which stinks on defense. So if Andy Dalton doesn't play well here, you have to go with Fields next week. But that Cincinnati offense is fun to watch. Joe Burrow, they got three good receivers. They got a good back. So I think this one's got a chance to be
pretty
high
scoring. And Nagy said that you're going to see more Fields getting more reps in this game.
Yeah.
So there's more runs coming his way because Matt Nagy is not a good coach.
Nope.
But I'll leave that to the side. The Texans are at the Cleveland Browns. And again, from the world of Bizarro, If the Texans win today, they would be 2-0, and the Browns would be 0-2. However, the wide receiver, Anthony Schwartz, made his debut last week for the Cleveland Browns, had a good day with OBJ out. Jarvis Landry talked about the rookie.
Spoke with you guys after the game, and you know, I told him on Monday I was extremely proud of the way that he played, the way that he approached the game. I don't know if he even had a mental error in the game. You know, he played close to pretty much a perfect game, and he really showed his speed, and his presence is definitely felt. I think people now, you know, as we move forward here, you know, really get a good understanding about what he can do, and we have a better understanding about how he can help us as an offense.
Ooh, I like this.
That kid is fast.
I like
he
this.
He is, like, insanely fast.
Because Odell Beckham's out again. You're a Pats fan. You should be liking this here.
Yeah.
I mean, we want a little conspiracy.
Please.
Let this kid play well. Odell's on the trading block.
Yeah.
Boom. Pats, there was talk about Odell coming to the Pats.
God.
I'm telling you, bro, you could probably get
him. Let's go.
You could probably get him for the cheap because of
song right now.
Because he's coming off the knee injury.
I feel like the Browns might be better without him. Aren't they?
Yeah.
Because Baker Mayfield kind of locks in on him when he's there.
Right.
And when he's not, he spreads it around.
I think a lot of teams are better without him because of his attitude.
I don't think it's really his attitude.
You know the most famous thing? You know what OBJ is most famous for? Two things.
Catch in the end zone.
The catch in the end zone and taking everybody out on a boat.
Yeah.
Day before or before a playoff game.
Somebody tweeted the Giants record since that picture.
Yeah.
They're like 18-46 or something like that. Now he's not even on the team anymore.
Right.
It's still kind of funny.
Stinky quarterbacks, but I think with Odell, it's more about him being with a good coaching staff.
I think they got one in Cleveland now.
Right, but you're right about the Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying it's the coaches, but I think Baker Mayfield locks into Odell Beckham, and then it's a fight. Do I get it Beckham? Do I get it to Jarvis? I got two alpha dogs fighting over the football. Odell here in New England, I think, would be a perfect fit for a guy like Mac Jones.
Wiggs, do you know since that trade who is number two in the NFL in drops at wide receiver?
Who's that?
Odell Beckham.
That's a
shine nugget right there.
Did you see Odell Beckham before he got hurt? Looked pretty good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's always hurt.
Well, that's right. We get him for short money.
He's a bit fragile.
Get him for short money.
There you go.
And I got another guy for you.
I got another wide receiver.
Right. When we get to that game, I'll tell you about
it. Love it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the Tennessee Titans are at the Seattle Seahawks, and you go from taking it on the chin against Arizona to now having to go all the way across the country where Wiggs, I know that people can pump up home field advantage a little too much, but the 12s are going to be back. They've been away for a year. That's going to be a hell of an atmosphere for Tennessee
to
fight
through. And I played in that stadium a few times, and that place, it seems like the fans are literally on the field because the way they built the stadium, they built it up and over. Mm. So you hear every piece of crowd noise. That's one of the loudest stadiums. And to get to my guy, I told you, I didn't think we were going to get to him this quick. Julio Jones.
What? I was going to ask you about Julio Jones. So you
that's
they
a bad
just
fit.
Got him.
It's a bad
just
fit.
Got him.
I know, but Mike Vrabel is.
They're going to trade him away. Yeah, Vrabel was pissed at him.
Yeah, that Vrabel. You know, Vrabel doesn't really care. Like, we just got him. I'm telling you.
Do you think he's still really good, or do you think he's cooked?
I think he's good. It's a bad fit for him in Tennessee because they're a running team.
Yeah. And they have the one stud receiver. Now you have two and a chance.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you were on that. Give credit where credit's due.
I'm telling you.
That
don't
said true. Cardinals last week over the Titans, and that game was in Tennessee, and it wasn't even competitive.
Don't be surprised if they move on from him going, you know.
They are going to be 0-2, right? Because I think we all got the Seahawks winning this game.
Yep.
Do you think the loss of Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator is bigger than once thought? Because it's in my mind now.
I think it's the double whammy. You lose your offensive coordinator, and to Wiggy's point, you're adding this other piece. Because it's not like Arthur Smith knew what to do with Julio Jones. He didn't
even have him.
But now you have to do all that on the fly.
But they're a bit of a different offense now, right? Because, like, Jono's gone, so they're really, like, they're not tight end heavy. They're now becoming wide receiver heavy.
And the way you want to build that team is through
Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry got stuffed last week.
Right, but that's the way they built that team, right?
Yeah.
It's a running team, and now when you add a Julio Jones and A.J. Brown is kind of starting to evolve.
But you can't be a running team in the NFL when you don't have a great defense.
That's right.
The only time it works is if you have the top great defense, then you can go ahead and run it. Tennessee, they tried to improve their defense, at least after week one, it did not.
Two things, and real quick, you're right about the defense, and the other thing is you can't be a running team when you have two legit wide receivers.
Well, Mike Vrabel, you mentioned Mike Vrabel being ticked at Julio Jones. For those who missed it, here's what he said when Julio got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty midway through the first quarter of week one.
Critical mistake. You know, I don't think that those are absolutely, that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. You know, So that would fall under the category of doing dumb that hurts the team.
Wow.
Right there.
Okay.
In bold letters. And it goes from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16.
And I give Vrabel,
I
give Vrabel a lot of credit. He does not care. As a former player, that's how he was. So I don't think he would have a problem with A, sitting Julio Jones, or B, trading him.
Wow. Well, listen, you were dead on about the Titans last week, so we shall see.
Let's go to Sunday Night Football tonight at 8:20 on the national stage. The Baltimore Ravens, their home opener, they get the Kansas City Chiefs. But even though Lamar Jackson has not beat Patrick Mahomes, he says it's not about me and Patrick Mahomes.
It's not about, you know, me and Mahomes. Not to me, you know, probably to everyone else. But, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, 3 times or whatever, but that's in the past. We you know, we got a better opportunity this time to come around, and we take the advantage and win in our home stadium. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we come to Sunday night, and we're going to play.
Pretty one-sided rivalry to this point. It's been all Kansas City Chiefs.
Lamar can't
break through. And I get it. Like, those quarterbacks have to say that. I'm sure Brady and Manning said that for years. Ah, it's not Brady versus Manning. It's Colts versus Pats. no, it isn't. To us fans, we sit there, and it is Brady versus Manning. It is Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. That's what you're getting here on Sunday night.
Yeah, and it's always going to come down to the Ravens' defense, especially against a Kansas City Chiefs team that, you know, you look at the game last week was against Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, right?
The Chiefs game was.
Yeah, the Chiefs game was. Yep. They can score points so quickly. And the thing we know about Baltimore is they need to be ahead when they get down to like 10 or more. It's hard for them to come back.
And they're the team, it already feels like last year you saw it with San Francisco and even Denver to a certain extent. Just almost too many injuries early on.
Right.
That's what Baltimore's a mess. They're just taking on water right now. Their entire running back field hurt. They're one of their best corners out for the season. Their other best corner, who's their best defensive player, he's already banged up in Marlon Humphrey.
And you don't know what you're getting from you. You don't know what you're getting from your quarterback every week either. No. That's the other thing.
Well, you know he's going to run.
That's right. He'll run. He'll fumble. He'll run.
I think they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
By the way, Tom Brady started 6-0 against Peyton Manning. So maybe it isn't the worst thing, because this is going to be one of those quarter. Well, at least we think anyway, unless Baltimore smartens up and gets a more functional quarterback. This is going to be a rivalry that we're going to see for a while. And then Thomas Edward Brady Jr., former teammate of one J. Charles Wiggins, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be taking on the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons cannot play a lick of defense whatsoever. I got to think, if you're the Bucs at home, Wiggs, aren't you licking your chops? And by the way, Matt Ryan never beat Tom Brady in his career.
Well, it's not going to happen today.
I don't think so either.
No. That streak will continue. And I think the Bucs have to be somewhat frustrated how their opener went. I mean, they barely beat the Cowboys.
Yeah,
great overall.
I think I was more not shocked the way the Bucs played, because their first two series on offense, you were like, wow, they're going to blow the Cowboys out. I was kind of surprised the way that Dak Prescott played with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys, they're not going to be an easy out. They're going to be a tough matchup every week that they play.
As long as Dak's up,
With Dak, I mean, they are a better version to me of Cincinnati, where they're probably going to be able to keep up with any team, but they're not going to get any stops. They're not going to get any defense.
Well, that's going to be the issue. Yeah. And the other thing you got to factor into that Bucs game, Ezekiel Elliott didn't really have a great game. He played. That was a horrible game.
But I think the Bucs are going to do that to everybody. So, like, Mike Davis was one of our stayaways this week in fantasy on the show. Is like, you can't – a good running back against the Bucs defense – terrible, because two things: either their front seven's so good, just gonna stuff them, or the Bucs get up big and you stop running anyway.
The Bucs' biggest issue is not gonna be teams running on them; it's gonna be their secondaries had issues.
You can get to those guys, and that's why, I mean, Ridley and Pitts, like, that's their only chance the Falcons have is Ryan throw it all over the place.
They lost their star corner, Murphy Bunting. Is he done for the season?
I don't know. I think he's on IR, but I don't know if it's short.
And then the other safety didn't play against the Cowboys. The Whitehead kid. He didn't play. So, you know, that's going to be for the Bucs to repeat or get back to the Super Bowl, it's not going to be their offense, not going to be their run defense or their front seven. It's going to be, what does that secondary look like against good passing teams?
Yeah, Bruce Arians said about Sean Murphy Bunting, he could be out anywhere from 4 weeks until the end of the season.
Oh, boy. That's great. Some other timeline.
Yeah.
Some other games this week in the NFL. The Saints are at the Panthers. We've got the Broncos.
So don't you want to – the Saints is interesting because they – Was it them or were the Packers just like laid down and died week one? Because I thought the Saints, next week's Patriots opponent, was going to be one of the wins. I'm like, yeah, that's a win. Jameis throws 5 touchdowns and he's eaten W's in week one. Wow. So I'm like, are the Saints good now? Was that, did I misread the Saints or is that just sort of a one-off?
Double lightning.
So if they beat up on the Panthers though today, don't you have to kind of take them a little bit? They could be 2-0 taking on the Pats.
And they got a good, their defense is good, the Saints, right? And it wasn't going to be more about Jameis Winston as decision making.
Yeah.
And it could be Sean Payton and the fact that now Jameis is with a really good coach,
right?
Offensive minded guy. So maybe that's kind of what Jameis, and even though he threw a ton of touchdowns, he didn't throw for a bunch of yards. So it's not like Jameis, we need you to go out there and sling it all over the place. So I think that might
be a sneaky team.
That's something you got to look at. You got to look at that because I think Sean Payton's going to turn around Jameis's career.
Broncos are at the Jaguars. 49ers are at the Eagles. The Vikings are at the Cardinals. Cowboys, who we did touch on, are at the Los Angeles Chargers for their home opener in that building for the Chargers. And Monday night, Lions and the Packers. I know we touched on the Saints. Do the Packers bounce, Wiggs?
I think so. I mean, but then again, Aaron Rodgers does not want to be there. If they lose this game.
But the Lions, though, like, come on. That is true. I think the Packers and the Bills are the two teams that look bad in week one that I think turn around this week.
All right, I'm with you on that.
And there you go. There is your trip around week two in the National Football League. Inactives are coming out. We're all over it. Let's get to Shime. He's ready to trend.
NFL Sunday, this Sunday before the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by New England Ford. Tune in every Wednesday at 2:30 as Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins the MFers from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. The Patriots take on the Jets at MetLife Stadium this afternoon, kickoff at 1 o'clock. Pats made several roster moves ahead of the game. Outside linebacker Tayshaun Bauer and kicker Nick Folk elevated from the practice squad to the game day roster. Brian Hoyer signed to the 53-man roster, and kicker Quinn Nordine was placed on injured reserve. The Red Sox beat the Orioles yesterday 9-3. The Sox and the Orioles go again today. First pitch 1:10, pregame 12:10. You can catch all the action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. And the New England Revolution tied the Columbus Crew 1-1 last night. The Revolution traveled to Soldier Field to play Chicago Fire FC Wednesday night. Kickoff for that is at 8. I'm Chris Shine. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Is Ramondre Stevenson up or down for the Jets game? We'll find.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Find out next.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
Why is 11:30 big for not only fantasy footballers, but also you, a part of the degenerati as well? Well, the inactives are about to drop. Time now for our NFL injury update, sponsored by Ketchus Law Group. With offices across New England, Ketchus Law Group has won over $1 billion for their injured clients since 1986 at Ketchus. You pay nothing unless they win. Injured, get a free legal evaluation at KetchusLaw.com. Call 508-321-7000. And I know we're waiting for the exact moment that these inactives are about to drop, but there are two guys that we know are not going to be in the lineup today. Kyle Van Noy with a mysterious throat issue.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
And Trent Brown out with a strained calf. Which is bigger, Wiggs? I'm assuming it's the bigger human in Trent Brown.
Yeah, I would say that it's your right tackle because the Haran kid didn't play too well. But then they brought in, what was the other kid?
Durant, who they got in Kansas City from a trade where they said he played a lot of guard as well. So it made me wonder if Onwenu could kick out and then Desir or Durant ends up getting in.
He wasn't too bad, Durant. I didn't think he was that bad in the game when he got in there. So I obviously I would say that your bigger loss is definitely Trent Brown. Now, Kyle Van Noy, he seemed like he's kind of being more used as a situational player. And now this just means more opportunity for Uche. Yeah. So let's see what he's able to do.
Although Bentley played more last week than you would want, you know. And
well, it seems like he's the signal caller now, right? It seems like he's the green dot guy.
Over Hightower?
Isn't he? He's always, but even this year, he's still calling the huddle. Can they have two green dot guys?
No, you only have one at a time.
From the other side of the Patriots-Jets matchup, Brian Costello, who covers the Jets down there in the New York City area, wide receiver Denzel Mims will be inactive against the Patriots.
And
today,
Adam Schefter just tweeted out that Jamison Crowder is inactive. So the Jets wide receiver, and it was trending like he was going to play this week.
Wow.
He's a good player. He's one of those guys that is nothing flashy about him, but you could see him picking on whoever the second corner is for the Patriots. So him not being in there, I mean, not that I don't think any of us were really predicting a Jets upset today, but that would have been part of the formula for one.
Oh, no
and
question.
He's not playing. So
who did they throw to?
Just Davis. Just
Corey Davis.
So and, now your old friend Braxton Berrios.
So now you're loading up on him because Braxton Berrios is beating you.
No, I don't believe so.
And I even wonder if Corey Davis can really beat you, quite honestly. He's had that one good year going into free agency, but other than that, he was really a bust down in Tennessee, and he was a very high draft pick.
He had a good week one, and maybe that's one guy that Zach Wilson feels comfortable throwing to. He doesn't have a whole lot of options there. Mm-hmm. So, because I don't think, based on what they did last week with Devontae Parker, it's not like they just put J.C. Jackson on one guy. So Corey Davis is probably going to line up on Jalen Mills at times or Jonathan
you would
Jones
think so.
Or whoever else.
Here's the Jets' full inactive list. Running back Josh Adams, running back LaMichael Perrine, Jamian Sherwood, a linebacker, Jason Pinnock, corner, Jonathan Marshall, D lineman, and then Denzel Mims and Jamison Crowder. So really, from the Patriots' end, as we're waiting for them to just drop the, it's funny, everybody's hitting
late.
Refresh.
What are they doing
like
here?
Crazy. But the big question is going to be whether Ramondre Stevenson is going to be up or down for today's
Doesn't
game.
Doesn't look like it. Mike Reese has some pictures early on with some of the players working out. You know how Wiggy players go out at different times prior to the game. Some do different things. And according to Mike Reese, there was a group of guys that he said are likely going to be inactive. And Stevenson was on that list. Hmm. And I know Kern was hoping that he'd be out there, but I don't know. You kind of read the writing on the wall. It felt like he was not going
to be. It's not hard to figure out.
And they usually let them know, too. They usually obviously let them know, like, oh, here's the decision. Here's the role that we're going in. My whole career, except for my first year where I was really on practice squad, but once I got out there, I was never inactive.
So, once you play. Did you ever
fumble?
When do they tell the guys that they're inactive? If they're healthy, when do they usually know?
They usually tell them, like, you could go out there and work out, and then they could tell you right before.
That's so brutal.
Yeah, like you got taped up and everything, and then boom, you know what, we're going in this direction.
So like you show up, so you go to bed Saturday night thinking you're going to play, and then they're like,
you go to bed, you go to the stadium thinking you're going to play, you go work out thinking you're going to play, and then boom, you know, when you come back in and get dressed after you've done your little, like you've seen t-shirts and short working out, then they hit you with, oh, by the way, you're inactive.
So for the Jets, Keelan Cole will make his team debut, wide receiver that they had for the Jets. No, but at least he's above Berrios.
No, of course.
You know, like if you're trying to find somebody else to throw to. Again, I would have been more worried about Jamison Crowder than Keelan Cole. He had a couple of decent games with the Jaguars, but he'll be the number two besides Davis today.
So this is really amazing. This is in a little bit of what the NFL has become, especially for those who are gamblers and those who are fantasy players, where you're literally sitting at a computer hitting refresh on your Google, on your Twitter machine to try to find who is going to be in or out today. And we know a couple of them. And is there any, I'm trying to think, is there any other decision, like the Quinn Nordin kicking situation kind of took care of itself with Quinn Nordin going on IR.
Which made sense. And then they signed Brian Hoyer to the year deal. Because, again, it was such roster manipulation going on.
Oh, yeah.
With who was on IR, who was on the practice squad, who wasn't this and who wasn't that. So, yeah, that's figured itself out. You have a true backup now in Hoyer. You have your kicker in Nick Folk.
But you knew that was coming.
You did. You 100% saw that coming.
Once he didn't play in week one, you knew it was just a matter of time before he goes to IR.
All right, here we go. The official Patriots inactive.
All right.
We already knew Trent Brown and Kyle Van Noy. Sean Wade out once again.
No shock.
Okay.
Your guy, Devin Asiasi.
Out.
Out. Ronnie Perkins. And Ramondre Stevenson.
Ramondre Stevenson. So no shock. You're done.
You're done.
You learned the lesson. So Wig.
See you in 2022.
Right. So Wiggy.
Brutal.
I want to put you into the role of the veteran player.
Yep.
Okay? If Ramondre Stevenson is in the locker room with a case of the sads, what do you go over and say to him?
I would just say, hey, man, keep your head up. You're going to get your chance. You'll get a shot again. Be ready to go. You never know when that shot is. But honestly, bro, with Bill, we probably won't see you to 2022. Keep your head
you're
up.
You're good.
Right.
Next season. There's always next season.
Hey, utilize this time to enjoy going out on Friday nights and then getting your drink on. You don't have to worry about playing on Sunday.
Nah, Wiggs. He's with us. He's in the token club. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
You want a little greenery in your life, you're good. Because Sundays,
we're
not going to need you. But no, all you can tell is the young guy's like, bro, this is the part of the business, the nature of the beast.
In all seriousness, going into the season, right, when training camp began, we looked at it and said the Patriots running back room is really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Not high end, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, but it was a really deep group. They trade away Sony Michel for nothing.
Ugh.
Ramondre Stevenson fumbles, and now he's benched.
Yep.
So now the active running backs on this really, really deep group are Damian Harris, James White, J.J. Taylor, and Brandon Bolden. Doesn't seem all that deep to me.
But
one guy's a special teamer, one guy you only throw to,
right.
And one guy's 5'5".
Right.
Like, what? And the other guy, that your lead guy, just cost you the game last week.
But you kind of knew, based on what we've seen them do before, like especially even with Sony Michel. So you know they want to run the ball anywhere from 25 to 30 times. Let's say as a group.
Yep.
So you know Sony Michel was the guy who was usually getting anywhere from 18 to 22 carries. Now that's Damian Harris. Damian Harris is going to be your guy getting from, I think, 20 to 22 carries a game.
Okay.
Now that leaves you with 7 carries that you have to split between. You maybe probably see James White getting a little bit more.
Right.
If he normally gets, let's say he normally gets 4, maybe he gets 6 carries a game, and then maybe they give J.J. Taylor a couple scraps.
I was going to say, so you think J.J. Taylor, how many touches for J.J. Taylor today?
8.
You think
touches?
Yeah.
You mean, you're talking about add passes is in there?
All of it.
I would say probably 4.
All right.
Yeah, maybe they throw him one or two
screens.
Well,
it's tough to know because Stevenson, we don't know what the plan was for the full game. Like, what would he have gotten had he been better at pass block and if he didn't fumble?
4 carries.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is the pass protection from the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
How do they cover that up? Because we know that every time White's in there, you're going to end up getting probably a sub-defense where you get an extra defensive back on the field because everybody's worried about James White, the receiver. With J.J. Taylor, you really don't know what to do with him. Keith, to your point, the running backs got run over in pass protection, whether it was on a play action or whatever the hell it was. So how do they go about dressing that up? Does Jakob Johnson factor in pass protection?
No, not really. Usually the pass protection situation is usually going to be James White. Because the reason you think about that, you think of third down, that's when they maybe want to bring some pressure. So usually James White is your third down back. So that guy's got to be particularly good at pass protection. First down, defensively, you still got to be like, all right, we got to be concerned about them running the football. We just can't be blitzing guys. So your first and second down back maybe doesn't, he still has to focus on pass blocking. But usually it's the third down back is the guy that he's got to be able to pass protect because that's who's going to be in there most of the time.
Some other big inactives, or I guess actives, I should say. Left tackle Eric Fisher is in for the Colts. I know he's coming back from an Achilles injury. So Fisher is in for the Colts. That'll help that offensive line, obviously, in Indianapolis. In Philadelphia, I'm only mentioning this because I work with people on the Gresh and Keefe show 10 to 2 here on WEEI Wigs who love Gardner Minshew. He's inactive. So there's another one. Bradley Chubb is up for the Denver Broncos. So the outside linebacker is active there and just so trying to see.
I got one that
else.
Jumps out to me.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
So last week, Trey Sermon, who the Niners drafted pretty high, was inactive.
Good call.
And he was healthy. And then Mostert got hurt. And then Elijah Mitchell took over the game. And they also had Hasty there for a little bit. Apparently, Kyle Shanahan had said during the week that he liked how Trey Sermon responded to that. Like, apparently he didn't just have a fit or whatever. So he's active today.
Okay.
So that might affect the old... I liked Elijah Mitchell. Again, the Niners' backfield is similar to Kyle Shanahan's dad back in the day with Denver. Like, he didn't know which back was going to get it that
day.
Right.
And so, but Trey Sermon...
Other than Terrell Davis.
Right. Yeah, him, you're good. But Trey Sermon could be an interesting play today in fantasy.
Very much so. So the inactives are starting to trickle in, and the big one for the Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson down, J.J. Taylor is in. And to those who I think have covered this team for a long time, no shock whatsoever.
None.
I didn't even know he'd be active in week one.
So that was kind of surprising. Well, and then as soon as he dropped the ball, you're like,
good
all right,
point,
we'll
Wiggs.
See you later.
Like, there was a question as to, hey, are they going to, just because we're so used to them drafting these middle round running backs and then putting them on layaway.
But when
for
they
a year.
Traded Sony, that's when I was like, they must like this guy and that he's going to play.
Ramondo Stevenson was I like Ramondo.
Ramondo's not. He might be a good back.
That's a pretty good
he
back.
Might be able to hold on
maybe
the ball.
He could pick up the blitz.
Is he a bouncer at Dossiers?
He could be.
Yeah.
He was a fourth round draft pick, right? So when you look at Damian Harris, who was a third round draft pick and an Alabama running back at that,
right.
And he didn't play his whole rookie year and was healthy and was just healthy scratches, I knew like this kid, he'll be lucky to get a game or two, but I'm not expecting. I didn't go into the season expecting much from him, and I don't think you should have. I think you should be looking at your running back is Harris and James White. That's what you got. And then they'll sprinkle in Brandon Bolden because Brandon Bolden's always going to be active because of special teams. And they'll say, all right, we need you to carry the ball twice a game.
In terms of that Raiders-Steelers game, Yannick Ngakoue is active for the Raiders. So extra pass rush to deal with old chubby Roethlisberger. It is NFL Sunday. We are coming to you live from the Best Yet Private Brand Studios. We are out of here early today. Normally, we'd be with you until 1. Today, we're only with you until a little after 12 o'clock because of Red Sox baseball.
Oh, that's good. So we're here till 12.
12:05. Right.
Well, if you want to come hang with me, I got my Super Bowl ring on today.
I'll notice that. It looks pretty good.
I'll be at an official Patriots party at Encore. Their sports bar.
Oh, good for you.
Cheerleaders are there. I know people like to see the cheerleaders. All the trophies will be
and
there.
Super Bowl ring. Trophies are there.
So a Super Bowl ring. I still can't believe when I drive in and I'm looking at it and I'm wearing it. Like, I don't wear it that much, but I'm like.
Pretty nice.
I was like, yeah.
Sharp.
It's like I got a Super Bowl ring. You know what I mean? It's
to get out of jail free at some point.
You just don't realize it, Gresh, till you look at it. You're like,
it is impressive.
And your name's on the side. You're like,
the 20-year anniversary.
And it's like the smallest one, too.
Right.
The first one was the smallest.
One, nothing.
It's like, look
that
at
new
it.
One with the Colts.
The other one's a bobble.
It's like a Super Bowl ring. You know what I mean?
Look at that.
That's pretty dope.
Isn't that like,
and you got the official gear on, too.
Right.
Is that the zip up?
But isn't that like that's what it still doesn't dawn on me till this, like, even when I'm wearing it, like.
Yeah, look at that. It's got the score on there. The logos is Pats 20, Rams 17.
Wiggs, you're like, you'll forever be able to make money because you won a Super Bowl. Autograph signings, please.
Oh, I didn't realize they have your names on them.
Yeah, they got the names on them.
Badass.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, man. That's so really cool. You'll be at the WynnBET Sports Bar over at Encore then.
Yeah, it's a sports bar because, you know, you can't bet just yet.
That's right.
But yeah, come hang out.
Very good.
And by the way, the Gresh and Keefe Halftime Live, at Gresh Keefe on Twitter, we all hop on and do a live halftime from our various
pretty
houses.
Good.
Pretty dope.
Pretty
so
good. Check that out.
We will go to the belly of the beast, MetLife Stadium, Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, and our picks are next.
Armando Stevens.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
All right, a fast-moving 15 minutes before we hand it off to Red Sox baseball here on NFL Sunday. It is Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe here with you. Our picks are coming up. But first, he joins Marloni and Fourier each week here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Ben Volen is down at MetLife Stadium. And Ben, let's get the instant reaction to Ramondre Stevenson being inactive this week.
Well, Gresh, the first thing that comes to mind is Jonas Gray. You're a young running back. You mess up once, and Bill Belichick is not going to tolerate it. So it wasn't just the fumble. His pass pro on the one play that Mac Jones was sacked, but they got it overturned because of the penalty on Landon Roberts. I mean, that was not good pass protection either. So Ramondre Stevenson not doing much to impress the coaches early in the season. And now we get to J.J. Taylor, who I wanted to see last week. I thought he ran great in the preseason, and I liked him last year as well. And I was a little surprised that he was down last week. So now J.J. Taylor going to get his chance. And he kind of reminds me of Rex Burkhead a little bit, kind of a hybrid runner, receiver. Very intrigued to see what J.J. Taylor can do today.
Now, hard to guess, Ben, but would you say J.J. Taylor factors into the 5 to 8 carry range? Maybe James White is in that range as well to sort of complement what Damian Harris is going to do?
Yeah, I would like to think that the Patriots are going to use J.J. Taylor to spell Damian Harris a little bit. You know, James White to me has a different role. He's strictly the passing back. But I think, you know, last week proved that Damian Harris needs a little bit of a break. He played a career-high 40 snaps. He was the intended target on 26 of them. He had a career-high 23 carries and then 3 pass targets as well. That was too much for him. He tapped out of the game in the fourth quarter. He got after a run, he was clearly out of breath. He came back in 2 plays later, and he put the ball on the turf, and the Patriots lose the game. So I really do hope that Belichick uses J.J. Taylor more last week, because I just don't think Damian Harris is at his most effective right now when he's carrying the load that significantly.
Ben, me and you, we tend not to agree on things. I'm kind of looking at you like, why did Ben say that? That kind of was stupid. But one thing you just said to me that I'm like, man, I got to reevaluate how I think of Ben Volen. That Rex Burkhead thing, as far as like who becomes that guy, I think that's something that we're not even looking at here. And you look at Patriots offenses, is they've always had that guy at the running back position that kind of did a little bit of everything. And if you look at this offense and you don't see that guy, is it somebody else maybe on that offensive skill position player that maybe takes on that role?
Well, winning over you is maybe my greatest accomplishment.
I appreciate
that.
Keep trying, though. I'm like a tree in the wood. A couple knocks and I'll go down.
Well, thank you for that, Wiggy. Yeah, you know, J.J. Taylor is, to me, he's a stronger runner than James White and probably a better receiver than Damian Harris. So not to make him, you know, into the next coming of Walter Payton or anything, but, you know, let's see what this kid can do, especially, you know, get him matched up against the linebacker. That's where Rex Burkhead was always so effective in the pass game. I remember when they went down to the Superdome and played the Saints a few years ago, Rex, you know, put a little move on a guy and he's catching a 40-yard, you know, bomb down the seam for a touchdown. I think J.J. Taylor has similar skill sets. A shifty guy who runs with a surprising amount of power. Another guy you might want to compare him to is Deion Lewis. I don't know if J.J. Taylor has quite the same moves that Deion Lewis did when, you know, Deion was in his prime, but I think a similar type of guy who is surprisingly effective between the tackles and can be a mismatch in the passing game. So I definitely want to see what J.J. Taylor can do today.
All right, Ben, last thing for you. Anything about the Jets scare you today?
Just the unknown. I think they're going to be a little bit of a desperate team after last week's loss. But, man, that offensive line, what a mess they were last week. You know, not only giving up the 6 sacks and the 10 hits, but, you know, it's like they never saw a blitz before. You know, they'd never seen a stunt up front. They had no idea how to block it up. And I lost track of unblocked Panthers pass rushers last week. So I think it's going to be a real tough test for them again today going against Belichick's defense. They don't have Kyle Van Noy, who is kind of a big piece in, you know, that disguising the front because he's one of those guys who could rush and who could drop and you're not quite sure what he's going to do. But expect the Patriots, again, to stack the line, try to confuse Zach Wilson. And I don't know if they're going to send the house, but, just lots of twists and stunts and zone blitzes and things to kind of get in Zach Wilson's head because that offensive line last week, that was a mess. I hope the offensive line coach for the Jets, you know, returned his paycheck from last week because that was not a good performance.
Ben Volen, national NFL insider of the Boston Globe, with us live down at MetLife Stadium. Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you soon and catch you this week with Maloney and Fourier.
All right. Enjoy, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
There goes Ben Volen. And wow,
I never could figure
that
out.
That struck a chord to you, huh?
Yeah, the Rex Burkhead thing. Think about that.
I'm thinking about it.
That's a great point. Like, when you look at the Patriots and a lot of success that they've had on offense, they've always had that running back that had the ability to kind of, you could line him up out wide, you could have him run slant routes, you could line him up in the slot and let him run seam routes, but you really don't. And could J.J. Taylor be that guy? And it weren't like they were bruisers running downhill, but you could run him on first and second down.
Yeah, but pardon me, with Stevenson, I'm not surprised at all. I Sunday afternoon, I thought he wasn't going to be active the next week. But part of me is thinking, you drafted the guy, he looked good in preseason, and he looked good enough for you to trade Sony and good enough for you to make him active week one. Then he drops the ball and he misses a blitz and now he's just done. Like, are we ever going to see the guy again?
No.
Like,
you got to factor in practice. There might have been things
maybe
in
he's
practice.
Bad there. Maybe he was.
Yeah, you know, there might have been things in practice that we didn't see where he's struggling against blitz pickup.
Then that's, to me, isn't that the bigger issue as much with Stevenson? Like, that fumble, you could have quibbled as to whether his ass was on the ground or not.
Yeah, but if you're
he can't get the quarterback killed.
But all right, if you are going to try to keep Damian Harris not exhausted, right? Try to keep him fresh, and you want to run just five times between the tackles, isn't Stevenson better than White or Taylor at that?
He should be.
And so you don't need to pass block when you're getting the ball. And it's not like the Patriots have done things in the past where they're just trying to really confuse defenses, right? We used to talk about it all the time. When Sony Michel was out there, they ran. And when James White was out there, they passed. So if you want to just run the ball a few times, you could do it with Stevenson.
But you become predictable, though.
No, I know, but they've done it.
But maybe when they've done it in the past, they've also had number 12 to bail them out of situations
like,
you know what, even though Sony Michel's in the game, they're probably going to run it, but when you got 12, you can maybe play action off of it.
Yeah.
It might not be as easy when you have Mac Jones, and you become predictable. That's why they try to throw the ball a little bit to Sony Michel in years past, and we're like, well, this guy can't catch a cold, which I didn't understand. I watched him at Georgia.
Caught the ball all the time.
Better
than Chubb. Didn't he? Didn't they throw to Sony than Chubb?
He was more of your pass catcher than Nick Chubb was down. He was actually the better back at Georgia.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss on that one.
All right, I know. Let's get to Degeneration Bets. You are listening to NFL Sunday from the Best Yet Private Brand Studios. And here we go. We pick you three games. We'll give you Patriots, we'll give you Bucks, and an AFC East game. Keith, where would you like to start?
Real quick, let me just, we'll update the standings throughout the year.
Thank you, congratulations
to Andy Gresh, who took week one. He went 2-1. Our tight ends, Jermaine Wiggins, Christian Fourier, both went 1-2. And I somehow was able to not pick a winner last week and went 0-3.
How did I go 1-2? I thought I went 2-1-2.
Yeah, you went 1-2.
Pats, I lost that one.
Yeah, you did lose that one. All right, so we have three games to get to today. Let's start with the other AFC East game, as you have the Buffalo Bills taking on the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins are getting 3.5 points. Andy Gresh.
I'm going Bills minus the 3.5. I think they bounce back. They match up pretty well against Miami. I think Miami's got some demons in their head relative to the Bills. And I don't love Josh Allen. I don't love the Bills, obviously. However, I think they bounce back. So I will lay the 3 and the hook, which makes me uncomfortable against Miami.
I know. Game in Miami. Wiggy, where are you going?
You know what? I was going to go with the Bills until I saw that this game is in Miami.
It is in Miami.
I'm going Miami.
You're going Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm going Fins. I'm going with the Fins on this one. Miami Dolphins.
No, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. I've been saying all week they are going to have a course correction. They're not that bad. They did not look good against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they'll turn things around. I thought the Dolphins really should have lost the game to the Patriots. It was
right.
The Patriots kind of gave them that game. So I'm going to go, he is going Dolphins as well, getting 3.5.
Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
Miami.
What is that?
That's their song.
It's their song.
That's their song?
Yeah, no. Miami Dolphins, the greatest football team.
Miami Dolphins.
They stole it from the Houston Oilers. I'm serious. Keith, look this up.
The best one was the San Diego Chargers one.
San Diego
Superchargers. That one.
Somewhere Hacksaw Hamilton just got wood.
All right, let's go to the Tom Brady game. He and the Bucs are at home to the Atlanta Falcons. Thank you.
This is awful. God.
That is a hard listen.
It really is.
I never heard that before.
You taught me something today. They stole it from the Oilers.
Yikes.
And the hook is Miami Dolphins.
Tampa Bay Bucks laying 12.5 at Raymond James Stadium.
That's a lot of points. I got to go Atlanta plus the 12.5. I'm going against my own rule. Atlanta cannot win this game.
But it's so many points.
Yeah. I got to take Atlanta plus.
Wiggy?
Yeah, I'm going out of Magic City on this one. That's just too many points. I'm going with Atlanta.
I'm taking the Bucks because Atlanta can't play any defense. Their offense didn't look good last week.
Right.
And I think Tampa Bay is going to clean up some of the stuff they did last week. I think they win by a couple of touchdowns. Mike Evans could have a big game after really quiet in week one. And Christian Fourier also going Bucks, so we are split.
Because what can Atlanta do well? I mean, they can't do much of anything, but there's one thing they can do, and that's throw the football.
Yeah, they need Calvin Ridley to have a
monster game. You're the Bucks. Your weakest spot on your team
is your secondary.
That is true.
And the last game we'll pick, of course, the New England Patriots at MetLife Stadium taking on the Jets. This line has already moved throughout the week. Patriots are big road favorites, laying 6 points.
Laying six.
What do you got, Crush?
I still got to go New England laying the 6. I can't. I can't see the Jets scoring more on the high end, right? High end? 17 high end, right?
Yeah.
About that? Right around there?
Yeah.
But you only scored 16 last week. The Patriots, it was 3.5 last week, and I had the Patriots thinking they would win by 3.5.
Right.
And they lost. They're getting 6.5. I mean, 6. And in the game, I think they should win. I got to go Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going the Patriots as well. I think, again, the Jets are just so bad. They don't have Jamison Crowder today. They are getting Keelan Cole. Okay, whatever. And the Patriots also played a lot of last week's game without Trent Brown and without Kyle Van Noy. So it's not like they have
to learn
how to play without those guys.
Right.
They're kind of used to it. And, again, you look at Bill's record against rookie head coaches, against rookie quarterbacks, the whole thing. I'll take the Patriots to win this one by at least a touchdown. Fourier going there as well.
Yeah.
So we're all on the Pats.
So we run the wheel here.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for us last week.
It did not.
Because we all went Pats and they completely screwed us.
By the way, Shine Time is other way going Oppo,
going
taking
Jets.
The Jets and those points. We see him in there shaking his head and being like, no, no, no.
Okay.
So Shime is going the other way. One other pick that I like as well, I think the Raiders plus 5 in Pittsburgh. That's just way too many points. Yeah.
So I've seen it plus 5.5, plus 6, depending on where you're going.
That's
so
right.
Try to get that
I'm looking at the Sportsbook Rhode Island app right now. SportsBetRhodeIsland.com is where I got that number. So there you go, your Degeneration bets. Tomorrow is Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick will be on the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the morning. Mr. Electricity, lighten it up. Wiggy will be pressing him as hard as he can.
Volan's the one who asked him about the long snapper. I forgot to ask Volan about why he asked him that and how it led to a 10-minute answer.
With Gresh and Keefe tomorrow, in the 10 to 11 hour, both Patriots running back James White and defensive lineman Lawrence Guy will join us for Patriots Monday. And then, of course, Mac Jones on with Merlone and Fourier. Patriots Monday tomorrow here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. That's it for NFL Sunday. Good job by Shyman Spaz. Red Sox baseball comes your way next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.